This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you. And now we ask, if you will, you bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that Thou art still in the business of calling Thy sheep from where they are, over there on the hills and valleys and in the crooks and wherever they may be located, and that Thou art busy searching them out and bringing them back into the fold, as You said that Thou wouldst do. We praise Thee and thank Thee, our God, for the privilege we have of knowing Thee, and we praise Thee that the door of salvation is still open, and that whosoever will may come. But, O our God, we know that they'll not come unless Thou dost draw them with a special unction from Thee and a special drawing from Thee. And so we pray, O Spirit of God, Thou art, it is Thy sphere to search out and find the elect of God, wherever they may be. And we ask Thee, be pleased to use the broadcast as a medium of Thine to bring individuals unto Thyself. How we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art God, and that Thou dost know wherever they are, and, Lord, Thou dost know when they're going to come and under what circumstances Thou shalt draw them. Oh, we praise Thee that all those that have been given to Christ shall come eventually to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and not one of them will be lost. How great and good Thou art, our God, in Thy marvelous eternal plan of redemption, and how we praise Thee that we have just a small part in it. We ask Thy blessing upon those that listen at this hour. Thou dost know their needs, and we lift them to Thee, because some are downhearted, some are discouraged, some, Lord, are incarcerated in the prisons, and we pray especially for those that listen to us in the prisons at this hour. Oh, bless them, Lord, and them, and enable them to stand for Thee in the midst of that degradation and depravity that they are living in. We pray, our God, that Thou wilt especially watch over them and enable them, Lord, to be a witness for Thee in that place that Thou hast put them for the time being. Then we pray for those that are sick and afflicted. Watch over them, Lord, as only Thou art able. And, Lord, raise them back to health as it please Thee. But most of all, get glory to Thy name in this broadcast, and we'll just praise Thee and thank Thee forever and ever. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for Thy sake. Amen. Number one, if you're on praying ground, we want you to pray for the broadcast as never before. Ask the Lord to use it, and ask the Lord also to supply the needs, because we have many of them. You know, we don't beg for money, we beg the Lord. And we know He lays it on the hearts of God's people to help support the broadcast. So if you're being fed by it, and if you're encouraged by it, we hope that the Lord lay it on your heart to help maintain the broadcast in your area. Now, for you to do that, and to write, you must write us a letter. And so we want you to drop us a letter or a card this week for it. Pray for those in authority over us, and ask the Lord God of heaven to make them conscious of their tremendous responsibility that rests on them, and that we'll all give an account unto the Lord God of heaven for what we've done.
Take your Bibles again and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 16 and down through verse 30. Then delivered He him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now skip down to verse 27. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set there a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled: a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Our subject today, the pain of every sinner in hell. Now, maybe this sounds strange to you, but our Lord, when he hung on the cross, portrays every sinner. Last time we pointed out to you that every sinner was a condemned and dying sinner, like the Lord Jesus was when he hung on the cross. Now, people object to the fact that the Lord Jesus is classified as a sinner. While he did no sin, he knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. You see, the Lord Jesus became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. And there is no other way. Have you come to know Christ? Are you in Christ at this hour? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then put it down. You are a condemned and dying sinner. You're also continually thirsty. That's why Christ thirsted on the cross. You are companionless and suffering. And I know many of you today may say, oh, I have a million friends. My friend, when it comes to die, you're going to die alone, and you'll die companionless. And when you die, you'll go to hell unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'll tell you right now, nobody is going to be able to help you. There's one thing you can't do for somebody else, and that is this. You can't die for them. And I'll tell you something else. You can't go with them when they die. Each individual's got to go alone, and each individual will go alone, and each individual will spend an eternity in heaven or in hell, depending on their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today we're going to look at the pain of every sinner in hell as endured by Christ. Now, when an individual dies and goes to hell, my friend, it's not air-conditioned. It's not a lovely place. It is a companionless place, but it is also a place of tremendous torment. Our Lord, when he hung on the cross, portrays the condition of every sinner in hell. Now, in hell, there will be this kind of pain. There will be the physical pain, first of all, and then there will be the spiritual pain. Now, my Lord endured a great deal of physical pain. We find crucifixion was one of the cruelest methods of putting an individual to death. And we find very clearly that an individual hanging on the cross endured tremendous pain. They were physically enduring pain. And my Lord was no different. When my Lord hung on the cross, he endured a tremendous amount of physical pain. Now, what in the world are you talking about? When a sinner dies and goes to hell, that sinner is going to endure physical pain. Let me show it to you, if I may, from the Word of God. Now, let me say right at the outset, and you better understand it. The only place you're going to learn about hell is in the Scripture. The only place you're going to learn about life after death is from the Word of God. The only place you're going to learn about salvation is the Word of God, the Bible. The only place you're going to know anything about heaven is by the Word of God. The only place you're going to know about angels is by the Word of God. The same thing is true with demons. And the only way you're ever going to get saved is by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to your heart as your absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. And this revelation will come to you through the Word of God as it's given to you by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, a sinner without Christ dies and goes to hell. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. There's no second chance. An individual is either in heaven or in hell when they die. Their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ depends whether or not they spend an eternity in hell. Now, an individual that's in hell is conscious of torment. Our Lord, portraying a sinner in hell, was also conscious of torment. Now, someone might say, "Preacher, where in the world do you find that a sinner is conscious of torment in hell?" Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16, and beginning with verse 19 down through verse 31, you have the Lord Jesus Christ lifting aside the curtain and showing us what happens to an individual who dies without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your seat. This is not a parable. This is an illustration. This is a curtain that our Lord moved aside and allowed us to see what happens to an individual that dies and goes to hell. The average preacher calls this a parable. My friend, when God wants us to know it to be a parable, He says so. There is nothing in here at all about it being a parable. Our Lord tells us very clearly, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This could be the average American. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." This man here was conscious of his torment. The Lord Jesus Christ was also conscious of the torment that he was undergoing, because when he hung on the cross, he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And every sinner that goes to hell is a forsaken, abandoned sinner as far as God is concerned. God turns his back upon that sinner when that sinner is in hell. And our Lord will never, no, never, no, never listen to the cry of any sinner that's in hell, and we better realize it. The pain of every sinner in hell is a physical pain. He's conscious of torment. Secondly, he is cognizant of its eternity. In verse 25 of Luke 16, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Now, what in the world do you have here? You have the physical pain of a sinner in hell. It's, first of all, it is a there's consciousness of torment. Secondly, the individual is cognizant of its eternity. Abraham said, "Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." Now let's stop right here. A lot of people believe in purgatory and other foolishness like that, and they believe that if their loved ones will pay enough, they'll get them out of purgatory. My friend, the Word of God doesn't teach anything like that. There's not a second chance. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. And many of you, with your religious veneer, are destined to an eternal hell, and you're resting in your religious veneer instead of resting in repentance at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you again, my friend, without being born again, You cannot enter into the portals of glory. When you die and go to hell, you will be conscious of torment. Secondly, you will be cognizant of its eternity. And then thirdly, many of you believers are in this category. You're not in this category, I should say, at this time, but I wish you were. The rich man was concerned about others coming. In verse 27 of Luke 16, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, he knew he was going to be there for eternity, and he knew also that others were going to come, and he didn't want them to go to hell. You believers listening to me at this hour, some of you are so satisfied and you're so contented that all you do is you go to church in the morning, you go to church at night, you read your Bible around your table, but you never talk to your neighbor about being saved, you never witness on the job, you don't pray in public, and you hide your so-called Christianity, and I'll tell you right now, you don't have very much. My friend, you and I, as believers, we had better begin to wake up. The hour is late, death is sure, hell is positive, destruction is coming, and there's only one way to be saved, and that is this: a person has got to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, what about you at this hour? I know many of you have walked the aisle. Many of you have been baptized. Many of you listening to me today, you think that you're one of the covenant children. And therefore, because your mother and dad are church members, you're one of the covenant children. And you think you're all right. And you've never stood before God as a guilty, lost, despicable, stinking, good-for-nothing, hell-deserving sinner. And my friend, I want to tell you again, your religious veneer is not going to bring you to heaven. You must be born again. There must be the revelation of Christ to your heart. And if you have never stood before God as a guilty, lost sinner, put it down. You have never been saved. And without salvation, there is no heaven. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And when my Lord hung on the cross, he endured this physical pain because he portrayed what every sinner suffers throughout the countless ages of eternity in hell. Now, while there is physical pain, there is also a spiritual pain. Take your Bibles now and turn to Matthew chapter 27 and look with me at verse 45 and verse 46, where the Word of God tells us about the spiritual suffering that an individual will endure throughout the countless ages of eternity. You see, right now, sinners are enjoying the blessings of God. They have the blessings of rain. They have the blessings of sunshine. They have the blessings of good health. They have the blessing of a good job. They have the blessings of home and loved ones and family and friends and churches. But my friend, those are temporal blessings. When an individual leaves this earth without the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual will suffer spiritual, eternal pain forever. Now, what makes it so terrible? Well, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 and 6, we read, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we find the physical, or I should say the spiritual pain of an individual in hell. My Lord knew what it meant to be separated from the Lord God of heaven. That word forsaken means abandoned, it means desert, and it means to leave helpless. And when an individual leaves this earth without Christ, that individual is forsaken by God. God abandons that individual. God deserts that person. And our Lord leaves that sinner helpless and hopeless for the countless ages of eternity, spending that eternity in a devil's hell. Then our Lord was separated from God, and we see he suffered because of it. Secondly, he suffered also the torments of the damned. In Matthew chapter 27, again verse 45, Jesus cried with a loud voice, or verse 46, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we see the Lord Jesus Christ here is portraying a sinner in hell. He was suffering the torments of the damned. Now hell is a dark and dismal region where men lie deprived of the light of God's countenance, tormented with the presence of the devil, held up to everlasting contempt, and become the burden of their own thoughts, calling to remembrance their past sins, having an active sense of present pains, and knowing the reality of the eternal sentence. And my friend, last of all, we find they were shut up in the prison house forever. Notice carefully, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Darkness is a symbol of God's judgment, and hell is a dark and dismal region. Men are shut up in that place, knowing very clearly the reality of the eternal sentence upon them. Now, I know many of you listening to me don't believe in hell. Well, my friend, I want to say to you very kindly, you're going to a place you don't believe in, but when you get there, it's going to be too late. I urge you at this hour, as I've urged you before, if you have any common sense in you whatever, you stop for a moment and face reality. You're not going to live forever. You're going to die, and you're going to spend an eternity one of two places. It is either heaven or it is hell, depending on your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're not saved by joining a church. You're not saved by speaking in tongues. You're not saved by any kind of emotion. You're saved by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to your heart as your absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. When this takes place, it comes, it's an inward revelation. And I'll tell you right now, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you. You can never get over it. You can't explain it. But I'll tell you right now, you'll never get over it, because it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you this side of eternity. Oh, may the Lord work in your heart, even at this hour, and keep you from going to hell, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.